turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23. We'd like to read verses 17 through verse 19. Proverbs 23, verses 17 through verse 19. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation or hope shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. There's, in the opening verses of this chapter, first seven verses, Solomon states some dangers, some pitfalls that every child of God must be aware of, that every child of God must avoid. He warns in verse 1 of his temptation. He says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Again, that's a warning concerning temptation. He also warns concerning the appetites of the world, the indulgences of the world. He says in verse 2, put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. So he's talking about the dangers of indulgence in the world. These are things that we must always be aware of. He warns concerning the deceitfulness of the world's delicacies. In verse 3, he says, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Verse 4, he warns about simply laboring for material gain. He says, labor not to be rich. So again, there's a warning there as well. Then he warns us to cease from our own wisdom. Again, in the context, he's talking about material things. He says there in verse 4, cease from thine own wisdom. And then in verse 5, he warns us to be careful not to set our eyes, not to focus upon material things. He says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And then in verse 7, he warns just about developing the world's thought patterns. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Before that, he said, eat not thou the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's telling us not to develop the thought patterns of the world, which is a very, very easy thing to do. If we do not guard against it, we will develop the thought patterns of the world. And I believe we all, to some degree, have. And it's never a good thing to have the thought patterns of the world. And then to enforce these warnings, in verse 18 he says, for surely there is an end. That is, speaking of the things of the world. All of these things are going to come to an end, and therefore they should not be our primary focus. He goes on in verse 18 and he says, and thine expectation, talking about the saved, expectation speaks of hope, shall not be cut off. So he's stressing there the importance of having hope in spiritual things rather than material things. And then in verse 17, he begins to sum it all up. And he speaks of the overall danger. And he says, let not thine heart, that is, do not allow it to happen, let not thine heart envy sinners, the wicked. Do not pattern your life after their ways. Do not wish to be like them. God has delivered us from that lifestyle. We do not wish to go back there. So he says, let not thine heart envy sinners. And then he proceeds to give us four instructions. And these instructions we are to do all the day long. We see there the last phrase of verse 17 is all the day long. So the instructions that we find in verse 17 and verse 19, four in all, and there's more as you go down past verse 19, you see in verse 20, be not among winebibbers. That's part of these instructions. Among riotous eaters of the flesh. And then verse 23, buy the truth, sell it not. But we want to just look at the four things that are mentioned in verse 17 and verse 19. But these instructions, it's important that we realize that these instructions are good for all the day long. That is, they're good for every day. And not only every day, but all the day long. Every day. In other words, these instructions are never out of date. They're always good. It's always wise to follow these instructions. Now, considering the phrase all the day long, there's nothing that that doesn't include. That includes everything. That includes when we first awake. That includes when we get out of bed. That includes all of our preparations and all of our plans for any day. It includes everything in a day. It includes the performing of our daily tasks, whatever they might be, the performing of our daily responsibilities, whatever they might be. It includes all of our comings, all of our goings. Includes all of our minglings with our fellow man, includes all the conversations that we have in a day, includes all of our meals, includes all of our working hours, all of our recreational hours, all of our relaxation hours, all the time you have to yourself. It includes everything, all the day long. So the instruction that he is about to give is for all the day long. That means the daytime hours, the nighttime hours. That means whatever circumstances come about in a day, whatever events occur in a day, all the day long. It would include all of our successes in a day. It would include all of our disappointments in a day. It would include all of our gains in a day. It would also include all of our losses in a day. It would include all of our joys. It would include all of our sorrows. It would include all the blessings of a day, all the trials of a day, all the difficulties of a day, all the day long. There's nothing that is not included in that phrase. It means if you're healthy, it means if you're not healthy. These instructions apply all the day long. They apply to all your feelings and all your moods. Our feelings change in a day. Our moods can change in the process of a day. But what Solomon is about to tell us doesn't matter. The instruction is still good no matter what you're feeling, no matter what your mood might be. The instruction remains the same. So it is for all the day long. You know, that's true throughout the Word of God. God's instruction is not just good for certain times. It's good for all the day long. So what we read here in verse 17 and what we read in verse 19 is for every day, all the day long. But what this tells us, since it's for every day and since it's all the day long, that means that what Solomon tells us to do here, we're to be consistent. The Word of God teaches us that. That we are to be consistent in our lives. Christianity is not just something you do every now and then. It is something for all the day long. It's not just something you do in certain places or around certain people. It is all the day long. It's every day, all the day long. That tells us that Christianity, living for the Lord, is not to be thought as something apart from daily life. Now, there's a lot of people today who profess to be saved, who want you to believe that the Bible does not have to be included in their daily life. They have their religion, it's for Sundays. They have their religion, it may be, if they're really religious, it may be for Wednesdays as well. But they have convinced themselves, and they will try to convince you that it's not for every day. But it is. It's for every day. I mean, what good is it? What good is it if it does not affect your daily life? If it does not have effect on the way that you live your life, you really don't believe it. And it's useless. And that's what religion is. It's empty. It's useless. It's something that you pick up and you do every now and then. But what the Bible teaches us is we're to do these things every day, all the day long. So what this tells us is it is for, Christianity is for the most common acts. It's not just the extraordinary times, but all the day long. That's common. That's common everyday things. Christianity is to affect our common, our everyday life. In other words, it's for 7 days a week, all the day long. 24/7. We are to live what the Word of God teaches. So, these instructions, and again, there's four, and we want to look at them briefly, are good for every day. No matter what is going on in your life, this is good instruction. And it'll work. It'll work. It's good advice. It's Solomon, wisest man on the earth, giving advice about living. Isn't it amazing that people whose lives are in ruins will talk to other people whose lives are in ruins and get advice from them? If you want advice on how to live, if you're going to go to an individual whose life is in better shape than your own. Don't go to someone whose life's in even worse shape or just as bad as yours. At least go to someone whose life is better than yours. And again, God gives us good advice here. We see the first thing he says in verse 17 is, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. When? Every day. For how long? All the day long. The very word be implies a personal responsibility. Something we must do. Be thou in the fear of the Lord. This is foundational. And it's not just an act. It's not simply something that we do. It is an inward condition of the heart. It consists of reverence for God. It consists of awe. Being in awe of God. And a lot of people have lost their awe of God. And when you lose your awe of God, you will always withdraw from Him. Be thou in the fear of God. When we reverence God, when we stand in awe of God, along with that comes a childlike trust in Him. It's like what Brother Mark was talking about this morning. That omnipotence of God. If you believe the omnipotence of God, you will trust Him. Very simple. It's foundational. If you reverence God, if you are in awe of God, you cannot help but trust Him. It will come naturally. It includes a submission to God. If we are reverencing God, if we are in awe of God, we will submit to God. The reason we do not submit to God is because our thoughts of God are too small. So where there's reverence, where there's awe, there will be submission. And all of this works together. Where there is submission, there will be loving obedience to the Lord. But it all goes back to reverence and awe for God. So every day, all the day long, we are to reverence God. That's our responsibility. That means we, no matter what happens, we must make sure that we are reverencing God. We must make sure that we do not lose sight of God. We must make sure that we are standing in awe of Him, that we are trusting Him, that we are submitting to Him, that we are obeying Him. And if we are reverencing God, and if we're standing in awe of God, we are also adoring God. We are loving God. Now notice, it does not say, if you read verse 17, it does not say, fear the Lord all the day long. That's not what it says. It goes much further than that. It says, be thou in. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Now, first of all, to be in the fear of God, you have to be born again. You can't get in the fear of God without being born again. So you have to be saved. Being in the fear of the Lord is the life of God showing itself in us every day, all the day long. Now again, the important word there is the word in. That speaks more, that's more than an act. That's a position. That's a position. If you're in something, that speaks of a position. Speaks of a standing. It speaks of a condition. Be thou in the fear of God. That means that you have a constant and a continual acknowledgement of God. That's what he talked about back in Proverbs chapter 3. That we are to acknowledge God in all our ways. What does that mean? That simply means that we are to recognize the hand of God everywhere. That no matter what happens, we are to recognize the hand of God. You see, that's what this morning, when we looked at Joseph, You read Genesis 45, and Joseph recognized the hand of God through it all. Did Joseph like everything that happened to him? Of course not. Did he like being thrown into a pit? Did he like being sold to the Ishmaelites? Did he like being falsely accused? Did he like being cast into prison? Of course not. But he saw the hand of God in it all. He was able to acknowledge the Lord. And that's what it is to be in the fear of the Lord. So all day long, we're to acknowledge Him. Being in the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 in verse 10. It's also the beginning of knowledge in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. We read in Psalm 147 and verse 11, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." It pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord for you and I to live in the reverence of God. For you and I to stand in awe of God. We read in Proverbs 14 and 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." And we also read to fear the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. Proverbs 8 verse 13. Why is it today that people are always trying to defend sin? It's because they have little thought of God. Because if you fear God, you hate evil. You hate the pride, you hate the arrogance, you hate all the evil ways. So it all goes back to a lack of fear, a lack of reverence for the Lord. To live in the fear of God will not allow you to do what others do. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 5 and verse 15, he said, "So did not I because of the fear of God." He says, I didn't do what they did because I feared God, because I reverenced God, because I had an awe of God. The fear of God will not allow you to do what everybody else does. To fear the Lord will cause you to surrender. God said to Abraham, when Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac there in Genesis 22 and verse 12, he said, "I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." He's saying, Abraham, you have manifested that you have a fear of God and that you were willing to let go of your only son, of the son that you loved. You were willing to let go of him, not because you didn't love Isaac, but because you feared me, but because you had a reverence and you stood in awe of me. You were willing to let go. So the first instruction, and it's foundational, is be in the fear of the Lord and do that all the day long. And then the other three instructions we find in verse 19, and it still goes back to all the day long. These are things that we're to do all the day long. And they are the result of, I don't believe that you're able to do these other things if you are not in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And if you are in the fear of the Lord, then these things will happen. These things will come naturally. The second thing he says is, "Hear, thou my son." Be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And every day, all the day long, hear. That is, listen. Listen to the instruction of the Lord. When we're in the fear of God, we are now in a position and we now are in a condition to hear God. A lot of times people come to church, they try to listen, but the truth is they're not in a position or condition to listen. You have to be in the right position to listen to God. You have to be in the right condition. And that is, you have to be in the fear of God. So we have to keep ourselves in a position. We have to keep ourselves in a condition every day, all the day long, where we will hear the Lord. And I believe that God speaks very plainly. You know, people will say all the time, I don't know what God's trying to tell me. He's not trying to tell you anything. He is telling you. He is telling you. You just need to listen. But you need to get in a position where you can listen. The Lord is always speaking. And unlike all of us, sometimes we speak, but we don't have anything to say. God is always speaking, and He always has something to say. That is, it's always important. It's always needful. If God says something to us, you and I need it. And it is always for our benefit. God does not speak to me to harm me. He speaks to me to help me. Now, what He says to me may pierce, it may cut, but the purpose is to help us and to benefit us. But the problem is, there are not many, even of God's people, who are listening. As you go through a day, there's voices coming at us from every direction. There's voices in our head that we've heard through the years. Some good advice, some not so good. Our own selves, the voice of our own self talks to us. The voices of the world, always clamoring. There's a lot of noise. But God is always speaking. And we have to be in such a position that we're able to distinguish from all the other voices. We're able to distinguish His voice. And I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, my sheep know my voice. They know. They know the voice of God. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. The Lord has spoken, and the Lord speaks. Our responsibility is to hear. To hear. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Or speak, Lord, I am listening. I'm listening. Sometimes we need to just be quiet. We need to listen. We need to listen to what God has to say. And we need to be listening for God every day. And we need to be listening for God all the day long. And we need to be in a position and a condition where we can do that. Psalm 85 and verse 8, the psalmist said, I will hear what the Lord will speak. You may want to go to other folks for advice, but you better hear what the Lord has to say. And then you had better be able to put what God has to say over what anybody else has told you. You have to hear what the Lord has spoken. People will read a very plain verse of Scripture, not to do such and such or to do such and such. And they'll say, well, the Lord hasn't spoken to me about that. It's black and white right there. What do you mean He hasn't spoken to you? He wrote it. And He wrote it for you. And if that doesn't speak to you, it's because you are not listening. You are not in a position or a condition to listen. So we need to have a desire and a determination that all the day long, I am going to listen for God. And once I hear God, I'm going to listen to what He says. God speaks to us through His providence. By just the governing of things in the world, governing our circumstances, God speaks loud and clear. God speaks to us by His works. God speaks to us through His Word. Hear what God says. Has to say. And for all of those who find it so difficult to read the Scriptures every day, you know what you really find difficult is listening to God. God will speak to you through His Word. And if you continually push His Word to the side, what are you saying? I do not want to hear what God has to say. And these are the same people who says, well, God hasn't spoken to me. They haven't opened their Bible in 3 weeks. I imagine He hasn't spoken. Or He's spoken, but you haven't heard. So we need to be in the fear of God. We need to hear. We need to hear what God speaks to us. It's easy to hear what God says for others or what we think He's telling others to do. It's amazing to me how many people know the will of God for other people's lives, but they don't know the will of God for their own life. It seems to me God's first going to tell you His will for your life before He tells you His will for someone else's life. So we need to learn to listen to what God has to say to us. When we get up in the morning, we ought to be listening. The voice of God. I believe if you listen, you'll hear God say every morning, good morning. Good morning. He's there and He's ready to talk. Sometimes you wake up in the night, and if you listen, God's speaking. If you think about it, that might have been the voice that awoke you. God's speaking. We need to learn to listen. As you make your plans for the day, listen to God. Just listen to what God has to say. As you go through your day and doing whatever it is that you do, listen. Listen for God. As you mingle with your friends, your acquaintances, hear the Lord. Listen. For the voice of God. As you talk to others, listen for the voice of God. As you hear others talk to you, listen for the voice of God. How many times someone has told you something and God said, that's not so? Listen for the voice of God. Always be listening. In times of recreation, in times of relaxation, whatever it is, all the day long. Listen. If you're at home, listen. If you're away from home, listen to what God has to say. Hear. Hear what God says. If everything is going great and just fantastic, listen. Stop and listen to what God has to say. If your day is filled with disappointment, stop and listen. To what God has to say. Because He always has something to say. If you're prospering, or if you're not prospering, listen. Listen for the voice of God. times of trial, in times of difficulty, or in times of joy, or in times of sorrow. Listen. Because I believe that God never leaves us alone. We need to learn to listen to the voice of the Lord. Sometimes God whispers to us. Sometimes He gets our attention with a loud voice. But whatever it is, listen to the Lord. And God's people will listen attentively to people who do not have any idea what they're talking about. I mean, people will listen to others, and the people they're listening to are, they don't know anything. They do not know what they're talking about. And yet folks will listen to them. And people say, well, so-and-so said this. But how does that compare with what God says? We have to weigh everything. Yes, they said this, but what does God say? And that's how we're to weigh everything. What does God have to say? Because isn't it foolish to listen to people who do not know what they're talking about and not listen to omniscient God? I mean, that's foolish. It's foolish not to listen to someone who knows everything. There are a lot of folks that think they know everything. There's a lot of folks that think they know more than God. But God knows everything. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows more about you than you know. Most people say, I know myself. And I'm here to say most people don't know themselves. But listen. Listen to God. People will listen to all kinds of philosophies. They'll listen to all kinds of deceits and then turn a deaf ear to the voice of God. So every day, all day long, stay in the fear of God. By doing that, that will enable you to listen, to hear. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 19. He says, and be wise. Hear and be wise. To be wise means that we seek to understand what God is telling us. If God tells you something and you don't understand it, do what you would do with anybody else and say, I don't understand what you're saying. Could you repeat that? He'll repeat it. And he'll repeat it in a way that you can understand. So part of being wise is seeking to understand what he says. It doesn't do us any good to hear him if we don't understand what he's saying. But part of being wise also is to believe what he says. It's foolish to hear what God says and then not believe what he says. But you see, wisdom tells us to believe. God tells you something, you believe it. Whether you understand it or not, believe it. Whether you can explain it or not, believe it. That's faith. Simply because God says it. Be wise and believe. Be wise and be affected by what you hear from God. As when God says something to us, it ought to have an effect upon our lives. So be wise. To be wise is not to be afraid of the truth of God. A lot of God's people today that are terrified of the truth of God. They don't want to know what God says. They're afraid of it. Be wise and yield yourself to what God says. It's pretty foolish to hear what God says and then resist it. be wise and yield to what God says. So be in the fear of God all day long. That enables you to hear, and that also enables you to be wise. And to me, wisdom, I can't think of a better definition of wisdom. God is omniscient. God is all wise. So it seems to me the more we think like God, the wiser we are. The more conformed we are to Him, the wiser we are. And how is it that we become conformed to Him? You stay in the fear of God and you listen to what He has to say. And then lastly, He says, and guide thy heart in the way. Being in the fear of the Lord, hearing what God has to say, being wise gives us guidance. It gives us direction in the way. You notice it's singular. He's speaking of a particular way. He's speaking of God's way. There are many ways. There are many ways in which you and I can go every day, many paths that we can take. Really, there's only two ways, but there's many paths. You either go in the way of God or you don't. There's so many forks in the road. If you want to stay in the way of God, you stay in the fear of God, you hear what God has to say, and you believe what God says, you trust what God says, you yield yourself to what God says, and you'll stay in the way. We get out of the way because we do not listen or we do not obey what we hear. So hear what He says all the day long. Be wise by believing what He says and by acting upon what He says. And this will give you guidance and direction. I am so glad that every single day I can have the direction and I can have the guidance of God. Every day. No matter what the situation is, I can have the direction of God. And you just know. You just know. You just know what God would have you to do. And you do it. And by so doing, you stay in that way. You'll never get off course listening to God. Never. You'll never go astray listening to God and believing what God says and submitting to what God says. I'm telling you, it'll work. It'll work every single time. Listen to Him. But again, before you can listen, you have to be in the fear of God. You have to be in a condition. You have to be in a condition to fear God or to hear God. There are those today of God's people, they never seem to know what to do. In any given situation, they never seem to know because they don't hear God. We've got to listen. We've got to listen to what God says. And when we listen to what God says, we're not going to be carried about with every wind of doctrine, because I've heard what God said about this, and what this person's saying is wrong. Hear what God says. And people all the time, people come up with some of the most foolish things, some of the most blasphemous doctrines, and God's people say, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. You'd better listen to God. Because there's no way that sounds good if you're listening to God. So listen. Listen to the Lord. When you're by yourself, listen to God. When you're with others, listen to God. Always keep an ear open for what God has to say. Because whatever it is God is telling you, it's for your good. It's needful for you. It's beneficial for you. It's wonderful today in a world full of the confusion that's so prevalent today. You and I can have guidance. You and I can stay on the right road. But we have to keep ourselves in a position and a condition. And we have to hear. We have to be wise. We have to follow what God has to say. Do that every day. Do that all the day long. And your life will change for the better. Brother Larry, if you